Revelation chapter 22. This is the grand finale, as this author calls it. We have talked about in the last chapter the glory of the new heaven, the new earth, the new Jerusalem that comes down from God as a bride, what? Adorned for her husband. We talked about the destiny of the redeemed. Now, who are the redeemed? Let's just start by asking that question. Who are the redeemed? The saved in Christ. We are. We are the redeemed. Those of us who are Christians, and of course now John, who he is writing to, are the people of that day, and he has given them a future account of what life will be like for them. And we can read that and know that this is what life will be like for us as well. We know that it is going to be something absolutely glorious and far better than anything we have ever seen and have even imagined here on earth. First few verses of this chapter, John's vision takes a look at the future of the people of God. He gives a brief description of what it's going to be like. He talks about the river of life. He talks about the tree of life. And he talks about the throne of God and of the Lamb. He says that the river of life will proceed out of the throne, and the tree will be on either side of the river and will bear 12 manner of fruit. Now, that's coming from one tree. Has anybody ever seen a fruit tree that bears more than one thing? Now, you know, our botanists today can do some pretty amazing things. They can graft on a trunk of a vine or a plant of some kind. They can graft in a tomato and a potato that will grow on the same vine. They've learned how to do that. They can graft different flowers that will grow from the same stem. But all of that is through man-made technology. It's not something that's naturally done. This is talking about something that would be virtually unseen and unheard of because it's physically impossible. And these are the things that John is describing to the readers as to what heaven is going to be, something that is physically impossible and that we simply cannot understand. Mentions the fact that there will be eternal fellowship with God, which is something that has not happened since when? Garden of Eden. Man had a relationship with God in the Garden of Eden and before sin, and hasn't had it since. And that will be the case again. There will be no more curse. What curse? Sin. Sin is the curse. No more sin. There will be no more need for the sun. By the way, what is the difference in the sun and light? Now, let me ask you tell you where I'm going with this. The very first verse, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, what was the first thing He said? Let there be light. But He didn't create the sun at that time, did He? He just created light, or just lit up the place. Later on, He created the sun, the moon, and the stars. So God can create light without the sun. And I have a feeling that that's the light that we're going to see in heaven, because the sun will not be needed, neither the moon nor the stars. Who is the light? Christ, the Lamb, and the glory of Him will be the light. And if you put two and two together, it could very well have been the glory of Christ that lit up the light that God said, let there be light in the beginning, because we know it wasn't the sun, because He hadn't created the sun yet. I just want to throw that in and give you something to think about. The rest of the chapter talks about the grand conclusion of what life will actually be like. when we all get to the same place and live in heaven. You remember me saying a few weeks ago that actually heaven is going to be a better place. And the reason I say that is because we know that at the beginning of the book of Revelation, we talked about the wars that were in heaven when the devil and his angels fought against God and his angels. And that battle took place in heaven. So there was something wrong in heaven at one time, because there were allowed in heaven the greediness that came from Satan and the determination to overpower God on the part of him and his angels. So there was actually confusion, and there was actually an element of discord in heaven at that time. Now we read, and we read this in chapter 21, that nothing that is detestable or that is an abomination to God will be in heaven. So God is going to perfect that one imperfection in heaven itself. And there will be no need for any, even a guard at the gate, because all will be well. Okay? Come from today? You know, that's a good thought, and I can't say yes or no to that, because, you know, we have no scripture to back that up. We do know that the pure river of water of life, that is what that is. It's pure life. And that very well could be the method by which eternal life is given to the souls in heaven. And it could be of course, it's all part of the power of God. We do know that. Which all of our blessings flow from the power of God. But Right. And it very well could be. It very well could be. Everything that we've received comes from, of course, the power of God, as the river of life does. So it's very possible. Okay. There is a reminder of the blessedness of those who do His commandments, that they will actually reap the reward of heaven. I had a man ask me a question one time. Let me throw this out at you. What are we going to do in heaven? We're going to be happy. We know we're going to sing. You know, no one loves to sing more than I do. Yeah. Amen. Like I said, no one loves to sing more than I do. And I love to sit down and play my guitar and sing, and I have a good time doing that. But you know, there comes a time I'm ready to lay that thing down. You know, and I'm just not so sure about spending eternity sitting around singing. I don't think I'm going to want to do that. You know, if I was here on earth, I wouldn't want to do it 24/7. I do know that. Huh? In heaven? I don't know. See, I don't really know what it's going to be like. Well, and that's true. That's true. You know, but at the same time, I don't believe we're going to be a bunch of mindless souls if they're just doing what we're told. I don't think so. That's just my opinion on that. So, you know, the question's a valid one. What are we going to do in heaven?
But you know, it's a happy
place. For sure.
We're not
going to worry about what we're doing. Absolutely. And, you know, this is one of those questions that we really can't answer, because we don't have a clue what it's really going to be like up there. We know that we're all going to have our own mansion. We do know that. Well, if we have our mansion, we're not going to spend all of our time around the throne of God singing if we have a mansion to go to, because He's built that for us. So that tells us right there, we're not going to spend all of our time singing around the throne. So we'll have somewhere else to go. We do know that. Oh, yeah. Whatever it is, you know, it's going to be the best of everything, you know. It's like the guy that thinks he can go get a Krispy Kreme when he wants to. I told y'all about that. Some people think heaven's going to be like Disney World, you know, or that it's going to be like if you'd like to go get out in the boat and go fishing, that's your heaven. That's what it'll be like. But there's no way of knowing that because we really don't know what it's going to be like. It's going to be something that is 100% different from what it is here. The things that we love to do here, probably not going to be there. Or if it is, we're going to relate to it in a different way because we're not going to have fingers and toes. We're going to be a spirit. So we know it's going to be more than one thing. But we have no idea what it's going to be. But what it's going to be is going to be something that is so great that we're going to want it regardless of what it is. I mean, just to be in a place where no one comes up to you and gives you bad news anymore. You don't have anybody having to go to the doctor anymore. You don't have anybody having to go to the funeral home anymore. You know, that's going to be worth going just to get away from things like that. You won't have to lock your doors because somebody can come in and get what you have anymore. We ain't have to deal with stuff like that. That's, like I say, that's worth going just to get those benefits. Absolutely. Absolutely. We wake up with it. We go to bed with it. It'd be wonderful not to have to deal with that anymore. You know. I think we will. And the reason I say that, I would think so, because we do know that the examples that we have that we will know each other come from two stories in the Bible. One is the Transfiguration itself, where Jesus met with Elijah and Moses, and they were in the Hadean world. They really weren't in heaven, but we know they were in the afterlife, and they knew each other and talked with each other. We have the example of the rich man and Lazarus. That was the other one. Thank you. The rich man and Lazarus, where he looked up and recognized Abraham and recognized Lazarus, who they were, and they were in the afterlife as well. So from those two examples, we can say that we will know one another. When John had the revelation, he recognized the 24 elders. He recognized the apostles. He recognized, you know, the people around the throne. He recognized individuals. So from that, you know, just from those examples there, that tells me, yes, we're going to know each other. Right. Yeah. You know, and I've had people ask me that question, and I don't have an answer for it except the fact that God is going to perfect us and our thinking. Right. Either we will have no memory of their existence, or God will make it work in a way that we will have the memory of their existence without the sadness of the knowing that they are not there. Which we know that God can easily do that. He can work that out however he sees fit, and it'll work out to our good. But, you know, there's really no way of knowing how he's going to do that. Okay, next question. We will be praising God. We know that. We will be worshiping God. We know that. But have you ever thought of the fact there will be no more Bible study? We won't need it anymore. It will be. And I got a long list I'm ready to ask. But you stop and think about that. There will be no more Bible. There will be no Bible study in heaven because we will have been perfected with all knowledge and all understanding. And we're going to know everything that we had trying to read from cover to cover in this book. And there will be no need for it. So that's one of the things that we will not be doing. I guess so. Y'all won't have to hear me preach anymore. That's worth the trip, ain't it? Right. Absolutely. You know, when you stop and think about it, the Bible that we have is nothing more than a tool to help us get there. Absolutely. Right. And just like any other roadmap that we use to get to our destination, when we get to our destination, we don't need the map anymore. And that's exactly how it's going to be. And, you know, a lot of folks have never thought about that. You know, and a lot of folks get offended when you tell them no more Bible study in heaven. You know, because a lot of people believe not actually enjoy Bible study. But it won't be there because there'll be no need for it. That's interesting to note. Okay. Then this chapter ends with a warning. And it's about the Bible. Leave it alone. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. This goes back again to Old Testament writing. We covered that in an earlier class. So let's read the chapter. And it gives us some better detail about some of the things that we have to look forward to. Verses 1 through 5. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and His servants will worship Him. They will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads. And night will be no more. They will need no light of the lamp or the sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. All right. Let's talk about this river of water of life. When I was a boy, there was a little stream on my granddaddy's farm that I just loved to go to because it came from the stream formed from an underground spring. And the water was perfect. It was always cold, and it was always clear, and you could always drink from it. And I used to love to go to the mouth of where that spring come out and actually started that little creek that ran on his place. And it was just a wonderful thing to taste that water, because there was nothing like it to come out of your house and sink, I'll tell you. And that's what I think of when I think about the river of life, because I think that water is going to be so pure and so cool and be so refreshing, and it's going to be forever. And this river, it says that it proceeds from the throne of God. Obviously, the throne of God in heaven is the hub of everything in heaven, the throne of God. Just as to the Christian, the church is the hub of everything spiritual in this life. So when we get there, everything centers around the throne of God. And here we find the river of the water of life. And we also find, and I don't know how he's going to pull this off, on either side of the river is the tree of life. How many sides are there to a river? How many trees of life are there? How's he going to do that? Yeah. How did Jonah get swallowed by that fish? You know, again, those are things we really don't know, do we? But when you start thinking about stuff like this, you can really fathom the mind. But there's going to be the tree of life on either side. Now, maybe it's like these big trees you see out in California that you can drive a car through. Has anybody ever driven through one of those trees, Jack? I've never seen a tree that big. Maybe the tree is so big that it stretches to both sides of that river. I don't know. I don't know how he's going to do that. But I know he's going to do it. And that's just going to be absolutely amazing. And this tree, like I talked about earlier, is not like any fruit tree. we used to have peach trees and apple trees and pear trees and all of that in at our home, but they only did one thing. This one tree is going to do 12. You know, I can't think of 12 fruits to put on one tree. Can you? When you stop and let you go to some of the tropical or the exotic fruits, I can't think of 12 fruits that you could put on one tree. Pardon? Hey, that's a good thought. Spiritual fruit. How about that? And it's going to yield its fruit every month. Our fruit trees yield fruit how often? Once a year. Well, the orange trees in Florida will do it twice, once in January and once in June. You know, but never 12. Now, they're not every month, by no means. There'll be no more curse. The throne of God and the Lamb shall be there. The servant shall serve Him. And it says here that they shall see His face. Now, this is something that hasn't happened before. Who was it that asked to see the face of God and was denied? It was Moses. He wanted to see the face of God, and God said, no. No one can see My face and live. Pardon? He saw the backside. I saw God. He said, I will let You see Me as I walk away. And that's what he saw. And it says that we shall see His face. It reminds me of a story of a class. This is back in the days when you could say the word Bible in school. And the teacher asked the children to draw a picture of their favorite character. And so all the kids started drawing. Some of them would draw Bugs Bunny. Some of them were drawing something else. This one little boy was drawing the face of a man, an old man, had a fatherly beard and all this, you know. And so the teacher asked him, says, Johnny, what are you drawing? And he said, I'm drawing God. Well, how do you know what God, how can you draw God when you don't know what He looks like? None of us know what He looks like. And he said, you will in a minute. I thought that was pretty cute. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. And in seeing Him as He is, we will see us as we are, because we are in His image. No night. So that means there's not going to be 24 hours in a day. Right? Won't be no time that we understand it. Now, and because we have a hard enough time understanding time as God sees time. How does God see time? The only indication we have is a day with the Lord is as what? 1,000 years. So, you know, we've only been here about a week, according to that. If the way we can trace back to the beginning of the creation is about between 6,000 and 7,000 years, we've only been here about a week as far as God's concerned, then, isn't it? How about that? No night, no need of the lamp or the light of the sun. God will give them light. And again, it hubs around that throne of God. And this last thing that he says here says, and they will reign forever and ever. So there will absolutely be no end. And we have heard this before. Several of the apostles, Jesus